Microphone is on. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? You can, yes. 2 Kings chapter 4. When you look at these verses, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. This is the whole story. It's a concise story. It doesn't change the verses. It doesn't change the story around it except for one thing, and that is it tells us a little bit more about Elisha. It's a true story, by the way. It's a miracle. God does miracles. Amen? And it's a story about somebody in trouble. And it's an interesting thing because their troubles are caused by a sad situation. Apparently this family that had a father and a mother and some sons. And the father was a faithful servant of God. In fact, it talks about prophets in the passage. And the father died. It grieves us. We see the sadness. It's already bad enough. We've seen over the course of the past few years, some people have stepped into eternity. I was communicating with Penny Jacobs just a couple of days ago by text, and she's still grieving over the loss of Leo. And of course, she's out in Nebraska now. And pray for her. It's sad to lose a spouse. But on top of that, now the spouse that's been lost was the financial support for the family, and they can't pay their bills. Does God care if you pay your bills? Yes. Sure he does. Does God care if you sacrifice? Let's say you gave up an occupation in order to serve God, and you could have stayed with that occupation and made a lot of money, but instead you decided to serve God, and so you left that occupation, and now you're serving God. Now money trouble comes along. Does God care? Sure. Fellow dies, the wife can't pay the bills. And back in those days, don't get me going, the government did not swoop in to deliver you. The creditors said, well, we have an option. We have a solution to your problem. We'll just take your sons and make them slaves, and that'll pay the debt. She didn't want that. I don't blame her. I wouldn't want that either. Amen? So what did she do? Oh, she got a second job, right? No. She just complained and whined, and finally people said, never mind, no. She went to God. Where do you go when you have trouble? You go to God. It's elementary. She goes to in those days, I mean, we have the same thing she had. It's just ours is on paper. She went to the prophet. We have prophets. Amen? And Elisha is one of them. And so she went to the man of God and she said, what do I do? And what he did was he asked God, what should she do? And an answer came. Now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time so you can be thinking about this. There's a picture of two things here. One of them is a picture of her faith, which brought her to do what God said. It wasn't that hard, but it wasn't that easy. At this time, it would have seemed a little bit foolish, maybe, because what God tells her to do is to go borrow a whole bunch of containers. He says, go borrow a bunch of vessels from your neighbors. So knock on the door and, hey, what can I do for you? Have you got any empty vessels? Yeah, what are you going to do with it? I don't know yet, but the prophet told me to collect a bunch of empty vessels. So if you got any, yeah, here's a couple. Next house, whatever. Goes to all her neighbors, collects a whole bunch of empty vessels. And God's going to fill those vessels with oil, which she is then going to be able to sell to pay her debts. Now, we've talked about this just recently on Wednesday nights in the book of Ezra. And other places in the Bible, you and I, in a sense, people are like vessels. In fact, the Bible calls us earthen vessels. And you and I are like vessels, and oil in the Bible is quite often a picture of the Holy Spirit. What was that very first song we sang tonight? It's talking about having the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. Amen? You and I, we were empty. And then Christ came in. And what a change. Did he make us perfect? No, but he made us wish we were. Amen? And when we step away from him, he chastens us and he corrects us and brings us back. And so there's a picture here of salvation And you might portray this in a sense of having a church that needs to grow like ours. And you know what we need to do? We need to go get some people, give them the word of God, and then the miracle takes place. It was a miracle that the oil was there. Then God can miraculously save them. That's what we need to see. Amen? But if this woman hadn't done what she was told, it wouldn't have happened. And if you and I don't do what God told us to do in our church, it's not going to happen. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to read verses 1 through 7 and have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed." In other words, it stopped. "Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you that, first of all, that you sent someone to us with the gospel, someone that brought the word of God to us, that Christ had died for our sins, and that we were sinners in need of a Savior. And God, thank you that when you did that, that we heard, and the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we believed, and thank you tonight, Lord, that we have been filled with the Holy Spirit just as you promised. And we see that picture in this passage, but we also see a picture of compassion. We see that you do not forget about us, that you are not remiss to care for us when we find ourselves in difficult situations, especially when that's caused by our service for you. And I pray tonight for each one in this room, help us to see things that apply to us. Help us to see things that make a difference in our lives. Help us to trust you more. Help us to love you more. And I do pray you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God's willing to deliver. Amen. We know he's able, but he's also willing. And in this situation, we see once again that bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to faithful people. I'm still this morning when we sat down back there in the room to pray this morning at 9:45. I know if he had not stepped into eternity a few weeks ago, that Leo would have been in there with us. And I walk into that room and I sit down and I see that chair where Leo would have been sitting, and I think, man, I miss Leo. But Leo doesn't miss me quite so much because he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. And Leo's very content where he is. We prayed for years God would heal his foot. Guess what? His foot's healed. And not just that, but his whole life is healed. And he will be with Jesus for all eternity. But for those of us left behind, it's sad. And difficult trials, bad things happen to God's people. It happens again here, and it happens throughout the Bible. That does not change the fact that God can help us. It does not change the fact that God will help us if we will ask and if we'll do some things. So things look hopeless. You ever get that letter in the mail or that note, or an auto mechanic gives you the bad news? And you think, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to the Lord. Amen. Amen. And, you know, throughout our lives, we just need to remember that we're not nearly so good at taking care of us as God is good at taking care of us. Amen? So that's what happens here, of course. The situation is that the circumstances are so bad, this woman, it says she cried in verse 1. And that's a good thing to do to the Lord, by the way, is to cry out to him. Her husband had been faithfully serving. The family depended on him. He's died. Her sons now are in jeopardy of being bondmen, which is just a Bible word for being sold into slavery. And so now there are some things that need to be done to get back to, and it's only a few verses. At the end of verse 7, everything's okay. But you know what's funny? It's when we're in trouble, it seems like it takes forever, doesn't it? Especially when you're waiting on God to answer prayer. Tonight, Jeremy laying there in the hospital, and he's not sure what's going to happen next. He's waiting on God to answer prayer. Tonight, Eva laying there in rehab, and she's not sure what's going to happen next, but waiting on God to answer prayer. And that's okay, though. God answers prayer. So we have a God that will help us. Look at this sequence of events here. First of all, the request had to be made. Elisha says in verse 2, "What shall I do for thee?" He already heard the problem. There's a need for us to cry out to God and to just ask God for help. If we're so stubborn that we insist on trying to solve things ourselves, we're missing the point. And then there's a mistake that we make, and I'm talking about all of us, me included. Sometimes what we'll do is we'll cry out to God for help, and then we'll go ahead and try and solve it ourselves anyway. Folks, when you ask God for help, expect him to help. That doesn't mean you won't have to do anything, but you wait and see what the Lord would have for you to do. And I suspect many of us here, I would raise my hand quickly if someone asked, has there ever been a time in your life to where you had a financial need that you couldn't meet and then God met it? How many would say, yep, that's happened to me? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's in the business of doing that. I've told you the story, just brief version. I knelt down at the altar in the church. I used to do it here too. I'd come into the church and pray during the week when nobody's here. And in Salt Lake City, I knelt down at the altar and I said, Lord, you know, I can't pay my bills. I need $800. And I can't pay my bills. We'd buy groceries on a credit card and pay them off when the credit card bill came in. And I don't carry credit card debt, and you shouldn't either. And so I needed $800. I didn't have it. And it wasn't coming. There was no place to get it. Wasn't going to get it from the church. Didn't have any other job. Nothing. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I need $800. And you know, I told you, somebody came to me the very next week and said, God, and you won't believe this, God moved me. He told me to give you $800. I didn't tell anybody except God. So who did that? Amen? Then that very same week, another fellow came to me after the church service and gave me some money. I think it wound up being something like $500. And then my stepmother sent us a check for Christmas for $200. It was December when this was all happening. We had decided, we can't afford a Christmas tree. You've heard this story before. It was the best Christmas we ever had. And let God be your God. Let him do what he wants to do. He can do that. This is not a prosperity theology message, by the way. It doesn't say she got rich. It says they got back to the point of where they could live. And that's what we need, is for God to provide for us so we can keep on serving him. Amen? Okay, so the first thing she had to do was to call out. And then expect God to use what you have. And I like this question. Elisha asked her in verse 2. He says, "What hast thou in the house?" What do you got to work with? I remember asking the pastor this question. I said, "So, how does God, does money doesn't fall from heaven? If you find a place where that's happening, call me. I want to come over and help." Amen. And where does money come from? So that same year that I had that financial trouble was 1999, and it was December, And I told you, somebody gave me $800. Somebody else gave me $500. Somebody else gave me $200. People started giving my children Christmas gifts. It was an amazing Christmas. And then I got a phone call from iOmega. They've come and gone. That was a long time ago. And they said, hey, we know that you're able to write programs on a certain kind of computer. You ever heard of Y2K? Well, this was 1999. And they said, we've got a profit-sharing plan that's computerized, and it's going to break. It will not work at the after the end of the year. We'd like to pay you very good money to fix it for us. And that was a blessing from God. God gave me the opportunity to use something that I already had to provide for my family financially. And then that turned into a long-term engagement, not with them, but with another company that God used for the next couple of years to meet our needs. But it's, I don't know how to explain it. I just know how it feels. It's like money doesn't fall from heaven, but God will use what you got to provide for you. Make sense? That doesn't mean you might not have to do anything. You've heard the story of the guy that was looking for a job. And so he, I'm not going to get a chair down, but he prays and he sits down and waits. God, I need a job. Sure would like a job, Lord. Go out and apply, amen? Do something. I'm not saying don't trust God. I'm just saying do your part. So say first thing she had to do is call out and then expect God to do something and to use what you have in a wonderful way. And then in verse 3, look at this. He said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. What? I need money and you want me to go borrow a bunch of empty containers? And it's just like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. You know, you're out in the kings are out there and they're in the battle and they haven't got any water. They're hot and they're tired and their animals are hot and they're tired and there's no water and they're thinking they're about to be forced into a battle with people that haven't even got anything to drink, and God says, go dig ditches. Folks, here's what we do. God says, for you and I, if you're here tonight and you have a voice and you have the health to do it, you got the health to be here tonight, you and I, this week, in fact, tomorrow, we have the ability to give somebody the gospel. Don't we? I mean, I haven't got a tract in my pocket, but usually I do. I left my house without my tract and my glasses tonight. But anyway, you can give somebody a tract tomorrow, can't you? Amen? But can you talk to somebody tomorrow? Could you tomorrow knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, I'd like to invite you out to church and talk to you, just tell you that Christ died for our sins? Or somebody at a store, or somebody you work with, or somebody, you and I could do that, couldn't we? You say, well, Pastor, I did that once. It didn't do any good. I did it once and it did do some good. Amen? I'll tell you this. I don't always see. Wouldn't it be great if everybody you witnessed to got saved? Well, it doesn't work that way. It's just kind of like fishing. That's one of the things I missed about Leo is we had such a good time. We'd go out and go fishing, and we went out fishing, and we'd fish in one place for a while. We wouldn't catch anything. Well, let's go home. No, go somewhere else and fish. And sure enough, we wound up catching fish. It was a great day. And when you don't see results, Jesus said he'd make us fishers of men. When you don't see results from somebody, go to somebody else. Folks, we're not doing that enough. Amen? By the way, it's good to go out and knock doors and talk to folks at those doors. And people get saved like that. But it's also good to talk to the people we know, the people close to us. There again, neighbors is what she was sent to. And borrow vessels? Now, you know, the prophet tells her what's about to happen, that there's going to be a miraculous filling of those vessels. It's going to take a miracle of God for this to work. Can God do miracles? It's going to take a miracle of God when you witness to somebody. It will take a miracle for them to get saved. I got saved. You got saved. Amen? So God's still doing miracles. You say, well, I'm going to see about this oil thing. Just remember this. God's able to do the miracle. And if you'll give God the chance, he'll use you to get somebody to Christ. We're going to step into eternity, and we're going to be there, and the question is going to be, did you bring anybody with you? Amen? You say, well, I just don't know how to do that. Yeah, you do. Well, I don't think it would work. I don't care what you think. God said it'll work. Amen? Folks, we got to be doing it. There's all these pictures in Kings of soul winning, and here's one more. So he says, go, borrow the vessels. Now, here's the question. How much oil did she get? We don't have a measurement in gallons or ounces or liters or whatever, but I have an answer to that question. She got just as much oil as she borrowed vessels. If she had only borrowed 10, she'd have filled up 10. If she borrowed 100, she'd have filled up 100. And she didn't get the oil until after the vessels had been borrowed. In other words, she had to do something, and then God did something. And had she not trusted God, she could have said, this is the silliest thing I've ever heard of. Why didn't the prophet just give me some money? Why didn't he just send me to a rich guy to give me some money? This is crazy. Okay, I'll go borrow a few vessels. I don't know how many she borrowed, but I know something. She wished she had borrowed a few more. Because the limit of the blessing was the limit of her effort. Now that's just plain old powerful, and here's the way it works. When you and I step into eternity, praise God, you're not going to have to buy or build a house there. Jesus built you a house. Never going to have to be repaired, never going to have anything broken, never going to have to be remodeled, never going to get dirty. What an amazing thing. Going to be beautiful. Better than you and I could have ever done. Can't even describe it. When you get to heaven, whatever house you have, whatever car you drive, whatever clothes you owned, whatever money you spent making yourself look good, all those things are going to be irrelevant. The question is, what do you have in eternity that you sent ahead, that you laid up treasure in heaven? And it's not going to be money. It's not going to be houses or lands or possessions. It's going to be souls. Two possibilities here. Just the plain old obvious one. Lead somebody to Christ. That's eternal. But you know what else is eternal? The things you do for God. In fact, the Bible says, if you just give somebody a cup of cold water in his name, you won't lose your reward. That is a particularly poignant verse in Phoenix, Arizona, because we give out a lot of water, don't we? And I suppose you could replace that verse, Michelle, with if you gave somebody a popsicle. Somebody the other day said, hey, we're going to have this event. We want to know if we have any popsicles. Yeah, we got popsicles. We got a chest-type freezer back there just about full of those things. And we'll use them up and get some more. We give out popsicles to get these kids to ride the bus or to come to church or to come to VBS or whatever. And I don't know. I think Marguerite's probably fed her Sunday school class about 1,000 pounds of food. And there's a reward for that. Amen? The things you do for God are eternal. And you say, well, I don't see it. Nah, she didn't either. She didn't see it until she had already made the effort. And then the effort was rewarded with the result. I'm just going to be real plain. How much effort are you making for God? Folks, the Bible's got all the promises in it. Amen? You're going to step into eternity, and you can't come back and live your life again. The things you do for God, you do now by faith, not by sight. And then you step into eternity and the rewards are there. The woman gathered as many vessels as she had faith to gather. And then she saw the reward later on. So starting out, she had to call on God. Secondly, she had to expect God to do something. And then she had to do her part. And then look at verse 4. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And let's just stop right there for a second. There's two simple ideas there. Number one is this. There's a point in time where the door is shut and you can't do any more. You can't go borrow any more vessels. There's a sequence of events here. Go borrow the vessels, bring them to the house, shut the door. We're not collecting any more vessels now. And I see two things there. There is a time when you and I will step into eternity and what we can do for the Lord in this life is over. But right now the door is open. Go to work. Do what you can. What can I do, Pastor? Two things. Ask the Lord or come talk to us. There's lots of things we need to do. And I'll tell you plainly, one of them is tell folks about the Lord and invite them to church. Why did God put us here? Just to come worship every Sunday? Don't minimize that. That's very important. But He put us here so others could hear. So once the door is shut, the opportunity to gather more vessels is over. And then here's an interesting thought. I've told you my stories. You could tell me your stories. But you know what's interesting? When God does a miracle in your life, I don't know how to explain this, but usually you're the one that gets to see it. Other folks might not see it quite so well. I told you about how we sold our house in Utah, I don't know, 30 years ago. And it was a terrible market. It was a buyer's market. There was nobody. Selling houses was hard because nobody wanted to buy a house. And I told the realtor, I said, God wants me in Texas, a Mormon realtor. I said, God wants me in Texas, and He's going to sell this house fast. And the Mormon said, yeah, right. He said, it may take a few months. I said, nope, God wants me in Texas, and I know I can't leave till I sell the house. He's going to sell the house fast. I told people at work, God wants me in Texas, and He's going to sell the house fast. Yeah, right. I tried to sell a house. Somebody said it never did sell. And people across the street had their house for sale, identical floor plan to mine. For months, it hadn't sold. And we listed the house, signed the listing agreement at 10 o'clock on a Thursday night, had a signed offer on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., a 36-hour sale. And the Mormon real estate agent got the buy and the sale. He got both sides of the deal. And we sold it for what we were asking for it. And right now it's worth four times that, but that's another story. But, you know, God, if you trust Him, He answers. He delivers. But, you know, I can tell people that story and they say, oh, it was a coincidence. I know it's a miracle. You know, and when God's done things in your life, you know, when that fellow walked up to me and he said, God told me to give you $800. I had not told anybody that amount. I didn't think my wife even knew that number. God knew the number. And that guy, that's a miracle. Oh, it's a coincidence, somebody said. You didn't see it happen. I did. And God does miracles in our life. Amen. So you may not, other folks might not be able to see it happen. That door may be shut, so to speak, but it's going to happen. Okay. Then look at verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons and brought the vessels to her and she poured out. Wouldn't you like to see that? I don't know how many vessels they had, but there must have been a bunch. Because they were able to pay all their debts and live on the rest. And so here's this house covered in empty vessels. And they've got this one container of oil. And she says to her son, hey, hand me that vessel right there. And he gives it to her. And she pours and she fills it up. And so, okay, sets it aside. And she gets another one and she pours and she fills it up. And she's starting to think, hey, that's a lot of oil. And she pours and fills it up. And before you know it, she's got, I don't know, hundreds of times maybe as much oil as she had. Where'd the oil come from? From the Lord. Amen? Folks, when God does a miracle in your life, you haven't got to help God. He knows. And you'll see what He did. And it'll be obvious to you. And you'll think to yourself, how can God do this? Folks, that's nothing. That's a little thing. You say there's bound to be an easier way. There might be, but God wanted us to see something in this. And by the way, just for simple illustration's sake, there's plenty of Holy Spirit to go around. One missionary can go out and reach what? Oh, he'll after 20 people, he'll run out of the Holy Spirit, right? Nope. Well, after 200, he'll run out, right? Nope. After 2,000, he'll run out, right? Nope. It's an infinite supply. Folks, God can supply as much as we're willing to let Him supply. In your life, when it comes to reaching people for Christ, I hope that's something that's important to you, because if you don't reach them, they're going to die and go to hell. And in our life, God's able to reach as many people as we're willing to reach out to. He's willing to save people. There's no limit to His mercy and to His grace. And so what you see happening here is that she obeyed, she did what God said to do, and now the supply is provided. It came to pass in verse 6, when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. I think she's having a good time. Looking all around. Look at all this oil. Wow. Isn't it exciting when God blesses? October we did VBS? And I thought, we're going to have a hard time getting folks to come to this. It was still a lot of excitement about coronavirus, and I wasn't sure. We had a good turnout, didn't we? Resurrection Sunday, a week ago today, we had a good turnout. And isn't it exciting to see when God blesses? Going to be real plain once again. Here's the thought. God will bless if we'll do our part. Amen? Nobody's going to come to church unless you invite them. You know, especially on a Sunday morning, I'm always going to preach the gospel. Now, I'll preach whatever the passage says, but I'll make sure the gospel is presented every Sunday morning. And people get saved because of that. But not if they're not here. And I wish somebody had a statistic. I don't know. I guess in heaven we'll find out how many tracts that we handed out that turned into salvation. But I know some of them do. And all I'm trying to say to you is, if we're going to see God bless, we've got to do our part. And if we're not doing our part and God's not blessing, then the question has to be asked, why didn't we do what God said to do? He said, here's the verse right here. It's the same as we see in the New Testament. He says in verse 3, go. Go. Go where? Go somewhere. Go find somebody. Go tell them. Did you tell somebody this week? Nobody's going to get saved if we don't go and tell them. Amen? End of the story. Here we go. Verse 7. She came and told the man of God. And you know what? What can she tell him he doesn't know already? But isn't it exciting to tell folks what God did? Amen? We have testimonies on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night. And then sometimes, and I haven't done this lately, but on some other services, sometimes we take testimonies as well. Sunday night, for example, sometimes. It's just good to tell people what God did. And God's doing things. If you're living a little bit for him, even, he's going to be doing some things in your life. So she went and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. It was rather obvious what to do now. Take what God did and use it to meet the need. God's able, but don't we have a part to do? Amen? And the extent to which we do our part is going to enable or affect how much God can do. Missions. I believe our church is really seeing some blessings. We're going to have a meeting here in just a couple of weeks, and we're going to take on some more missionaries, Lord willing. And I trust that we can take on the ones that were with us in the conference. I'm particularly excited about the Rongionis going to Wales that had the RV wreck a while back and got a new RV, and they're back on deputation now. But do you know how God provides for those missionaries? By blessing us. And this, again, this is another great missions message in the book of Kings, but here's the way it works. You and I say ahead of time, I'm trusting God that I'll be able to give because God's going to give through me what he won't give to me. I'm trusting God that I'm going to be able to give, $200 a month to missions. Somebody says, that's a lot of money. Well, how much oil does God have? Amen? And so we say, I'm trusting God to give that money through me. And the missionary says, I'm trusting God to get me to the field. And then as we give, God fills. We give and God fills. And we give and God fills. And I hope when you step into eternity, if you had the chance to do it, you could look back and you could see not just a few dollars, but tens of thousands of dollars. And there are people that could even see hundreds, perhaps. But our church in Maryland, from the time I was there, gave $1.5 million to missions. I hope you can look back in your life and you can say, wow, look at that money that I gave to God. But when you do that, don't forget this. Look at that money God gave to you. Amen? God gave the miraculous provision, and then the need was met. That's the way it works. when we tithe, when we give to missions, when we give to God, when we serve God, whatever we do for God. So the family, sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. They laid down their heads that night to go to bed, and they're thinking, wow, look how different things are. Just a few days ago, we thought our sons are going to be slaves. And the mom says, I thought my sons were going to be slaves. And, of course, the husband is in eternity, and that's not going to change. He won't come to them, but they'll go to him. But God met a need. And we give God the glory. Amen? If you worked really hard your whole life, and you saved a lot of money, and you came to your end of your life and you said, wow, look at all the money I've saved. And, you know, who gets glory for that? Who gets credit for that? You do. Well, God should, because if it hadn't have been for God, you couldn't have made that money. And there's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with being frugal. Nothing wrong with saving. And as long as you're not, you don't get carried away. But at the end of your life, wouldn't it be better to just say, and I can say this. I don't know how God did it, but he sure has blessed me. I don't know how God did it. Left a job making six figures and went to a ministry in Maryland. I'm making maybe a third of what I'd been making before. And we were better off. How does that work? It's the Lord. God takes care of us. Amen? It's just an exciting passage all the way around. And when you look at the end of the story, just one more time, God gets the glory for delivering his people from trouble. And I just remind you once again, when a problem comes into your life, money problem, health problem, whatever it might be, instead of cringing and thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? This is terrible. Oh, this is the end of me. Instead of that, say to yourself, here's a chance for God to show himself strong on my behalf. Here's a chance for God to work. Amen? What are the best stories we tell? The best stories we tell were, I didn't know what to do, and God took care of me. Amen? And maybe you had a need, and you met the need. You forget about those. But the stories we tell, I didn't have a place to live, and God gave me a place to live. I didn't have enough money, and God provided for me. I had a health need, and God met that need. I was in a hospital in December for 3 days. And praise God, I don't say it often enough, thank you folks for being faithful. I had never in my life that I remembered had people come to my door and sing Christmas carols until I got sick. I don't want to get sick again, so you can do that, but the Sunday night that I couldn't be in church and the whole church came over and sang Christmas carols to me and gave me that cake, that was a cool cake, if you saw that cake. And were a blessing to me. And for the next month and a half, I'm explaining to people why I'm paying for things with dollar bills, dollar bills, dollar bills, dollar bills, dollar bills, dollar bills. Stood at Walmart one night and put $40 bills in the machine one at a time, you know, to pay for the groceries. That was an opportunity for God to be a blessing. Amen? If I hadn't have gone to the hospital, none of that would have happened. I know it hurts to go to the hospital. I was there. But when you have trouble in your life, think of it as a chance for God to show himself strong. And he likes to do that. He delights in delivering his people. Not a parent here that would see their child hurt and not rush to their aid and be glad to do it. God's the very same way. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.